Our topic this month has been about salvation, and we had talked about when is our salvation. And because it was such a big topic, we never quite finished it. So I'm going to try and do that, and in my message I'll talk more about what the Lord told me. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them day and night before our Lord." Amen. Before God day and night. Amen. So we see that's Satan's job, is to bring us into condemnation, to keep accusing us, to say, yeah, you messed up. You're no good. You're worthless. You can't make it. But there's coming a day when his mouth is shut up, where his mouth is stopped, and he is no longer allowed to be so mouthy, to be making charges, to be coming against us. Amen. "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." That is the day. That is the day. That is the time when it says our salvation happens. Amen. So we're going to look at that. First week we talked about death of the Spirit, and then who is our Savior, what is our salvation, and when is our salvation. And we were supposed to do salvation through faith, but because we didn't finish last week, I wanted to continue. Amen. So we're going to be continuing, and I'm not going to start completely from the beginning, but just a refresher. We see in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, the souls on the altar asking how long. You ever ask that question to God? How long, Lord? Am I going to have to go through this? I'm going to have to deal with this situation. How long? Am I the only one to ask that question? How long, Lord, is this going to be that I have to deal with this, to go through with this? And they were told that they should just wait, because there's coming an end. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is deliverance in your future. There is salvation. Amen. You know, many people, as I put in the scripture here, have said, not just now, but even in Peter's day, where is this promise? We've been hearing about this second coming, about his coming. Peter prophesied in the last days, there's going to be more of it. People decided, well, there is no God. I can just do what I like. I might as well get what's happening. Let me go out and just enjoy myself. In the conference, one of the speakers said, yes, sin can be pleasurable, but it's for a season. One of the main speakers, he was telling his testimony how he had been a drug pusher, and how, yes, there was a time when that was his lifestyle, but there came a time when Jesus got a hold of him and changed him. See, but there's still people today saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue. Nothing's changed. Well, you see, they're missing the signs. The truth is, most people in the Bible missed the signs until afterwards. You know, if we had been living in Jesus' time, I'm sure all of us would have said, I would have recognized him. I would have known he was the Messiah. I wouldn't have shouted, crucify him. But you know, in many ways, we are still shouting, crucify him, because of the things we do, not recognizing his sacrifice. The Bible says we can crucify him afresh by not honoring his sacrifice for us. So Jesus was the fig leaves when they sinned was the temporary covering. It only covered the body. As I said before, if it had been the full covering, there was no need for them to hide. So even though they were covered, they still felt naked, because the thing that the fig leaves could not cover was the soul. It needed something more powerful than fig leaves. It needed blood. And so God instituted the blood sacrifice, the animal sacrifice. It's not what his will was to kill thousands of animals, but it was the only way temporarily to provide a covering for the soul. Amen. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh..." And in the Hebrew, that word is nephesh. It's really the soul of the flesh is in the blood. And I said, that's a revelation science doesn't realize, that the thing that makes you unique, the part that is the individual you, your soul, is actually from the Bible is covered and resides in the blood. And that's why there's been such a prohibition in the Old Testament about messing with the blood, because the life or the nephesh, the soul, is in the blood. Do you know that even today they can't actually duplicate blood? Not completely. They've been able to duplicate some parts, but blood is so complex that's why we still have to give what? Blood donations. They've been able to grow human tissue. They've been able to recreate certain other things. But for some reason, try as they might, they can't duplicate blood. They just have not been able to do it. Why? Because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And even in the New Testament, one of the four things that the early church was told to was to not drink blood or to take any animal knowingly in which it was killed with the blood in it. Now, Paul goes on to explain that if you're invited somewhere, you don't question how they cook the food. And if you eat something and you eat it innocently, there is no problem. But even in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they were told to abstain from idols and food with the blood in it. So that's just to show you how special that was. So, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make a covering. God gave the blood of an innocent animal because our blood had become sinful. It could no longer cover the soul when this body died. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul, or a covering for the soul. It's so plain, and yet we miss it. That was the reason for the blood sacrifice. There was a literal reason that an animal had to be killed, because when this body goes, the soul now would be naked. It needed a temporary covering. But the problem was that the blood of bulls and goats could never permanently take away sin. It was only temporary. And the reason was, although the animal was innocent, it never gave its life willingly. It was taken. We had to wait until the permanent covering came. The one who laid down his life. He says, I give my life. He who knew no sin became sin. He chose to do this. He wasn't taken from him. He was willingly able, the only one, to give a blood sacrifice of pure blood that was innocent. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. You know what I'm doing? I'm listing here. What am I listing? What's the third one? Behold your son, behold your mother. Anyone know what I'm listing here? No? All these little sayings, you know what I'm listing here? These sayings Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the things he said on the cross. That's right. He said, I thirst. It is finished. But the last thing he said is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was giving of his covering, the thing he came to do, to release back a covering that 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. And I'm trying not to preach what I already know I'm going to preach. But there came a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And you know what it did? It filled the house. That's what you got to do. I can't help myself. Yesterday, when we were in the restaurant, Audrey was asking, so what was your revelation? And I was trying not to tell her. What's your revelation? What are you going to teach? And I says, well, and I was being mysterious. And Malcolm said, you know, he can't help it. He'll tell us. He can't keep it in. She's halfway right. You have to change your atmosphere. You have to have the Spirit of the Lord come in. I don't want to preach my message yet, because I'll only have to say it again. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So that was the permanent covering. That did away with all the animal sacrifice. No longer do you have to bring a turtle dove. No longer do you have to bring a bull or a sheep for your soul's covering. All you have to do is have faith in the shed blood of Christ and his love, because it covers a multitude of sin. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us. When you seal something, you've covered it up. and given the earnest, that means the deposit of the Spirit in our hearts. And what I was saying is we were now waiting for the body to be redeemed. We still have this weak, sin-worn body that is wearing out. Wearing out. This body is wearing out. I don't really feel it until I go downstairs. That's the only time I feel something. I'm doing pretty good, I think. But when I go downstairs, my knees feel something different. I know I'm not a young man anymore. If the place was flat, I could pretend I'm a young man because I don't feel any other kind of pain. But when I go downstairs, that isn't quite right. I start to feel that they've bent a little bit too many times now. I've been up too many stairs. But you know what? The Bible says we're going to get a new body. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling. Whatever your prime age was, I believe that's what you're going to be looking like. I don't know when that was for me. Maybe 18. Maybe I was a late developer. I think I was in my prime about 38. When I was 38, I was running 9 miles a day and feeling good. I was doing 4.5 in the morning. I would play racquetball for 2 hours, and then I'd run another 4.5, and I was feeling good. Amen. I was talking to Audrey's brother, Philip, and he's been working out. And he looks kind of buff. He probably should just stop right now. That's about as good as it's going to get. That's about as good as it's going to get for him right now. I don't know how old he is, but whatever that is. I believe we're going to be given a glorious body. Whenever you looked in the mirror and said, that doesn't look too bad. We're going to be given a glorious body. So that's what we're waiting for. And we are waiting for us. You see, we think we're waiting for God, but he's really waiting on us. How is he waiting on us here? Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then, it's when that has been completed. That's really, truly the only sign that's left, is when that last witness, that last missionary has preached to someone, whether they respond or not, whether they hear. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached as a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. That's what we're waiting for. And it can come at any time because we don't know when that will be. Now, at the close of the conference, they made it very dramatic. They put up like 6 cities of where the next North American Youth Congress is going to be. Because they said, well, we can't hold it in any city now that doesn't have a stadium, a football stadium, because we can't get enough people. So that eliminated all these cities, and they were down to about 6 of them, and they made it very dramatic. And then finally they honed in on the Big Arch, St. Louis, Missouri. And they said, this is where NAC 2019 is going to be. And under my breath I said, maybe. Maybe. Maybe NAC 2019 is going to be in a much bigger stadium than that. And maybe we won't even have to pay bus fare to get there. Maybe in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump and the voice of the archangel, we get to go to a heavenly Congress. And you know what? It will be all youth Congress. Because we shall all be changed. That's going to really be the greatest youth Congress. There's not going to be any old or decrepit or invalid people. There will be no blind or lame, because Revelation 21 verse 4 said, God shall wipe away all tears. There shall not be any more crying, no suffering. 2019 in St. Louis may never happen, because 2018 in heaven could. And that will be a number that cannot be numbered. See, that's what we're waiting for, salvation of this body. Paul says, for I reckon, and this is what most of us need to tell ourselves over and over again. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, are you going through some sufferings right now? You need to understand that that's going to be a cheap price to pay. You have to understand that that's going to be nothing. Most of the suffering we're going through is our own fault. Let's get that on the table. It's things we have done and caused. But even so, God is merciful and loving. And what he's trying to tell us, Paul says, that I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. If you think it's worthy, then you're not worthy. If you think you're paying a high price, you don't deserve to go. I'm telling you. Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation. That's what we're waiting for. The manifestation of the glory of the new body, of the new glorified body that we're going to get. And he explains that God had to do what he had to do in Genesis so as to give us a new body. For the creature, speaking about human flesh, was made subject to vanity, to decay, to death. Not willingly. It wasn't God's original plan that we should die. Adam wasn't created with an expiration date. But he became subject to death because of his disobedience. That wasn't God's will. It pained God to see death and destruction. But it says, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, that's us, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. There's one day when you're never going to go old. You never grow old. The thing that mankind has been searching for forever. The elixir of life, immortality. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Just like I read that scripture in Revelations, the soul said, how long, O Lord? How long are we going to have to wait? It's been 2,000 years already, but I'm telling you this, I don't think it's 2,000 years more. Oh, no. That's why I said when they said NACY 2019, I said, maybe. We can plan. But I think there could be another youth congress coming before that. Yes, Lord. That only one person knows the date. Yes. But we know the location. And we shall all be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. Hallelujah. So shall we evermore be with the Lord. That's a youth congress that doesn't have an end date. It won't be a three-day thing. At the end, they couldn't get people out the stadium. That thing finished. Normally, they finish about 9:30, and by about 9:45, everybody's gone. At 10 o'clock, they were still just really getting started. And I think it was like 10:30 before people started to go home. And there was, as we were walking out, there were several people who they had to carry out. They were slain in the spirit. They could not even get up and move. They could not even move. See, we've only got the earnest. That means the deposit on what God has got in store for us. There's coming a day, though, when is our salvation is finally answered. For the Lord himself, he's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send a prophet. He's not going to send a pastor. He's not going to send a preacher or a deacon. The Lord himself, he is coming for you. Amen. And I firmly believe you're going to hear your personal name. You're going to hear your name. Just as he said to Samuel, he called his name personally. You're going to hear your name. I absolutely believe it, that if you are in the rapture, your name is going to be called. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ. And I highlighted that this is probably where we got it, but I said you got to remember that. It's the dead in Christ. There's only the people who have put on Christ is going to be in this particular resurrection. It says the dead in Christ. This does not apply to the Old Testament saints. Now, that might shock you, but just hold on, I'll explain. It says the dead in Christ. Now, the only way you get in Christ is if you have put on Christ by baptism. That's the only way. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's your promise. This is a youth congress that's not going to end. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is what you comfort one another with. Hold on a little bit longer. Don't give up right now. Just a little bit longer. We are so close. Just don't let the circumstances of your life throw you a loop. You know, we're all going through some things. And while I was in the Youth Congress, I was praying for the church. And I was that's what I was doing. They saw me. They probably thought I was texting, but there was some scriptures just coming to me and stuff coming to me, and I was trying to get it all down. And I was praying for the church. Amen. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. We may be the least of churches in Milwaukee. Maybe we may have the least bank account. We may have the least facilities compared to some other churches. But actually, that's a good thing. Because that's exactly who Jesus came. He didn't come for the rich and famous. It was the publican who wouldn't even approach the altar but beat his breast and just hung his head. And said, have mercy upon me. See, we may not have gone to the seminaries or, you know, be able to have the wood paneling and the veneer on the walls. But if you have a broken and a contrite spirit, if you bring that kind of sacrifice, the Bible says he will not despise it. You will be accepted. Comfort one another with these words. As we were coming back, several of the young people, they experienced travel sickness because it's quite a long drive. And in the end, we couldn't drive the church van because it needed more repairs. And one of the young ladies with me, she suffers, it seems, from travel sickness. So most of the time she was sleeping, but she woke up about maybe an hour and a half just south of before we got into Chicago, maybe in Gary. And I could tell she was having issues, you know, with stomach and cramp and all kinds of stuff. And we had a Target place to stop, and I just said, hold on. And I was counting down, okay, we got just 30 more minutes, 30 more miles. Can you hold on? Can you hold on? Can you make it? And I just kept on talking to her and telling her, just hold on a little bit more. We're going to make it. And I know she was going through. And you see, that's what we got to do, is comfort one another with these words. I'm telling you, we are closer now than we have ever been to the coming of the Lord. Just hold on. You may be going through some suffering right now. You may have some cramps. You may have some big issues. And you say, I don't know if I can make it. And I was looking at her in a glance, and I was thinking, can she make it? And I started driving a bit faster than I should because I didn't want there to be any issues, you know. So I was driving, and we were leading. There was four cars, and I was hoping they could keep up with me because I was trying to get to the place, the first oasis, so, you know, she could use the bathroom. And I gave her a bag because I was thinking maybe she might throw up. But what I'm trying to tell you is the car is approaching the oasis. When we got within 5 minutes, I knew she could make it. I said, we're very close now, just four more minutes. And I was counting it down, three more minutes. I said, listen, I'm going to pull right up to the door so you can run in. And she made it. I'm telling you, we are so close to God's coming. Hold on. Do not give up. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Now, will we know the exact date? No. Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, we won't know the day, but we will know the season. Matthew 34:33, just so when you see the events I've described beginning to happen, you can know his return is very near. What events? Well, I think quite a remarkable one a week ago when a Wisconsin company said they're giving all the chips to all their employees so they can put them in their hand. You see, we are living in the last days. Jesus said, and they probably laughed at him when he said this, except he shortened the days, there would be no flesh left alive. Now, when Jesus said that 2,000 years ago, was there a way for mankind to eliminate mankind? No. All they had was spears and swords and knives. Was it possible to eliminate mankind? No. But I tell you what, in 1941 in Alamogordo in New Mexico, the United States exploded the first nuclear bomb. And the very scientists who watched it, the man who invented it, he read a verse from a Hindu scripture of the Hindu god Shiva, which means destruction. He recognized that the very thing he had brought to fruition meant destruction. Sister Cynthia.
Shanita.
I can never remember which of you. You're going to have a name tag. I give up.
I just want to talk about Bishop a little bit. He basically told us about the chip in 94. He told us about the food stamp card. He told us about so much, and I'm just watching everything unfold. Everything he told us about is just basically, you know, coming to pass. It's just so many things, and I'm just like at awe. Like, he knew this way back in 93.
You know, the Bible is the most current book you can read. The Bible is the most current book you can read. That's old news because the Bible said it was going to happen. The Bible said it was going to happen. And even more is going to happen. This is where I got up to last time. I got 15 minutes. See, God has already laid it out in the Bible, his roadmap, in the seven feasts, the seven Jewish feasts. I've been meaning to teach. There's four other things called the four fasts. And I haven't taught on that, but I'm going to teach on that. There are four fasts that the Jews celebrate too. But the seven feasts are a roadmap, are breadcrumbs on God's plan of redemption. And I've listed them up there. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and then the strange one, Pentecost, which is in the middle. And it's in the middle for a reason. Trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. And I taught on Tuesday nights, probably in the last 2 years, about the harvests and how these match up with these seven feasts. Well, the Passover was literally fulfilled when Jesus became our Passover sacrifice on the cross. Exodus 12:1-14 is the scripture where God gives them the instruction to celebrate the feast of Passover. It says, "This night shall be to you, this month shall be to you the first of months." See, God changed the date. He changed the month that they were to call the first month of the year from what it used to be, the night they left Egypt on the 14th of Nisan. And of course, on the 14th of Nisan, 2,000 years later, Jesus died upon the cross. He became our Passover. And if that blood is applied to your temple, the destruction, the destroying angel has got to pass over. It does not apply to you. Amen. And he was also that bread, that heavenly manna, that unleavened bread that came down. He said, this is what Moses gave symbolically the Jews to eat. He says, I am the bread of life. And of course, it was represented in the tabernacle on the table called the showbread or the bread of his presence. There were 12 loaves of bread and it was holy and only the priest could eat it. Amen. And then of course, on first fruits, they were to offer the barley, the first fruits of the barley harvest on the third feast. And of course, that represents Jesus' resurrection because he became our first fruits. And I'm going to go over this in more detail. And then, of course, the very unusual one, Pentecost, which happens 50 days later. And they were to count. They were told to count. A date was not originally given. Now, today, the date is fixed in the Jewish calendar as the sixth of the third month called Sivan. But originally, they were to count every day what's called the Omer, or the measure of the harvest. And on the 50th day, they were to count seven sevens. And on the morrow after the Sabbath of the seventh, they were to celebrate the feast of Pentecost by bringing in the first of the wheat harvest. And they were to bake a loaf with leaven. So unusual, but of course, you know that represents us. We come to God as we are. We can't purify ourselves, but if we come to God as we are, he is able to keep you from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. That used to be my dad's verse that he would always close the service with. And I've held on to that promise so many times. He is able to keep you from falling. Think about that. He is able to keep you from falling and to present us faultless. Think about that. Present us faultless before the presence of his glory. Amen. And then 4 months after that, coming up in September, the 22nd will be the Feast of Trumpets. Amen. Of course, Pentecost was the birth of the church, and that was in Acts chapter 2. And on the Feast of Trumpets, there would be a blowing of the shofar, the ram's horn. And of all the feasts, this one was on the first of the month. It was the old first day of the Jewish year. It was the day of the old Jewish year before God changed the date. And the two witnesses would go out into on the mountain outside of Jerusalem, and they would have to see the crescent moon signifying the beginning of the month. And they would go back and report to the Sanhedrin, and then there would be a blowing of trumpets throughout the land, signifying the beginning of the month. Now, why was this important? Because after that, the count began. Because this was coming up to the holiest day, the holiest feast of the Jewish, of all the seven feasts, the Day of Atonement. So they had to count. So the trumpet signified the beginning, and then they had to count 10 days. 10 days to the Feast of Atonement, where on that day, the high priest for the first time would take the slain lamb and go all the way in to the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood before the Ark of the Covenant and upon the ground. He only did this on this one day. This was the only day that the Jews pronounced the name of God. And when he came out, I can imagine, just as you saw in that video where people were shouting, when they saw that he had come out and the offering was accepted and they knew that God was on their side and that they were forgiven and that they for that day were made perfect. And when he raised his hands and pronounced the name of God upon the people, can you imagine the shout that would go up? I imagine all their enemies for miles around heard it and were terrified. It's that Jewish Day of Atonement again. The priest must have come out. That means their God is on their side. We better just clear out of here. Are you listening to me? Am I alone?
No.
Do you understand what it means when God is on your side?
Amen.
Do you understand when God is on your side? There is nothing, no one, no people, no government, no devil. I can imagine the shout that came up from the camp of the Jews, thousands, in fact, millions. That probably reverberated for miles. I'm sure all the other nations had spies. They would come, especially on that day, to check out whether the priest was going to come out. If the priest died in there, they say, okay, we got him now. Their priest is dead. But if the priest came out and they heard that shout in the camp, they probably said, we can't do nothing to these people. We better just skedaddle. I'm telling you, when there is a shout in the camp, when the praise goes up, when the atmosphere is changed, when there's joy in the camp, Satan has got to go.
Amen.
Amen. And of course, who knows? Feast of Trumpets, maybe the rapture, I don't know. Then, of course, 10 days later was the holiest and most sacred, the Day of Atonement. And I've taught many times on this, but what this feast represents, it represents the new body, the true covering. The two goats, one was killed, represents the body. The other goat, its blood was taken in and sprinkled before the altar, representing our soul given back to God. You know why? The soul has to be given back to God, so he can put it in a brand new glorified body. It represents the end, the final end of this sin business, the final atonement. And then the last one is really just a celebration. When that scripture will truly be fulfilled permanently, when thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. Because he said, I, John, saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride. And this city is four square. He couldn't even describe what he was seeing. Coming down. And it was coming down. And it says God is going to be our God and he is going to tabernacle with us permanently. Amen. So God laid out his plan. And of those seven feasts, three of them are harvest festivals. Anyone remember the three that are harvest festivals? Because they're important. Well, I told you some of them when I was talking. When is the barley harvest? Which festival is the barley harvest? The first one. Passover. Passover first fruits, yes, the barley harvest. Because they are 3 days, three consecutive days. So they're all called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Either of those three, they happen consecutively. And then what's the next agricultural product that's harvested? The wheat. And what feast is that on? Pentecost. That's us. That's us. And then the last harvest is when? Tabernacles, that's right. And that is the, anyone know what the product is? It's not a grain. The oil and the wine. See, the three harvests represent, and I'm going out on a limb here, three times God is going to reap from this planet. But the one you want to really be in is Pentecost. It's Pentecost. Let's go on. I'm not going to be able to finish it, but let's read. Exodus 23:14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. Abib is the Old Testament name for Nisan. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Who have we witnessed to? Anybody given out a card this week? See, for this feast, you can't come to God empty. That's a serious, serious thing. He said, don't come empty. You got to bring something. Then, of course, the Feast of Harvest, which is Pentecost, another name for Pentecost. And the last one, the Feast of Ingathering, the final harvest. Three times a year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. It's a holy convocation. They had to come. That's why at Pentecost, all these nations, all these Jews from all these nations were there on the day of Pentecost, because Pentecost was a harvest festival. And they heard them speak in their own language. God arranged it so that Pentecost happened when there were all these people from all over the world, the known world, and come to Jerusalem to fulfill this command. Three times a year all thy males shall appear before the Lord. You see, when Muhammad was founding Islam, he had read the Old Testament. And he took a lot of these elements. That's why in Islam, they're supposed to go to Mecca at least once in their lifetime on the Hajj. He took all of this from the Old Testament. Now let me show you the three harvests. And I've taught on this, but again, repetition is how we learn. Amen. So first fruits of the barley are presented on Passover or unleavened bread or first fruits. And then first fruits of the wheat on the Feast of Pentecost. And then on the Feast of Ingathering or Tabernacles was the oil and the wine. So there were three harvests. And I believe they represent the first resurrection. They're all the first resurrection, but in three orders. Hebrews 7:17 tells us, for he testifieth, speaking about Jesus, art a priest forever after the order of who? Melchizedek. 1 Corinthians 5:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be what? Made alive. But every man, what does it say? In his own order. There are three harvest festivals for three different groups. And that's why people have been so confused as to the rapture. Is it pre-tribulation? Is it mid-tribulation? Is it post-tribulation? It's because they don't understand the revelation that there were three harvest festivals. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Christ was in the first fruits, the first part. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule. I've got 5 minutes, not going to finish it. So there will be three distinct harvests to complete the harvest year. In a year, there's not one harvest. As the season progresses, different products are harvested. You know, towards now, you can't really get some big, nice, sweet oranges. Like a few months ago, you could get lots of juicy oranges. And now all the grapes that my wife buys, they're sweet, but they're so small. Because we're in a different season. I'm telling you, while we're in the season of the wheat harvest, you better get in that harvest. As I explained, the way you get oil and wine is not pleasant. Oil and wine only come by what? Crushing. What I'm telling you is the oil and wine harvest are those that are going to go through some crushing. In other words, they're going to go through some tribulation. But the church, he hath not appointed to wrath. Hallelujah. You don't want to be in that other last ingathering. Amen. So let me give you the orders. Jesus was the first fruits, the barley. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And there's some special called out Jews that are with him. Revelation 14:4 speaks about the 144,000. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being, what does it say? I'm not making it up. The first fruits of God to the Lamb. Remember when Jesus arose, it says the what? The graves were opened. And they saw people who had been dead. The scripture never records them ever dying again. I really believe that this was the 144,000. These are the first fruits that were Jews. They were in the barley harvest. These are they which follow the Lamb whatsoever goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Then there's us, the wheat. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. So you see, here's what happened. Because of what happened when Jesus arose, there became a teaching that the wheat harvest had finished. That was it. That if you hadn't been in the first fruits with the 144,000, there was not going to be another rapture. That's why Paul had to explain in Thessalonians, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as them which have no hope. Because, and I read the scripture, the Lord himself. So what God had outlined with the three harvests was trying to explain that there were three orders. All of the three orders are the first resurrection, and I'm going to prove it to you from scripture. Then, of course, from Adam's to the day of Pentecost, those who were not the dead in Christ, remember what the scripture said? The dead in Christ? Well, obviously, Adam could not have died in Christ, nor Moses, nor any of the saints, that the Old Testament saints. But look at this. They are the oil and the wine. Hebrews proves this. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, here's the shocking statement. Read it carefully. What does it say? Let's say it together. Received not the promise. Wow. What was the promise? Go and wait in Jerusalem and tarry. Look what it says. This is scripture. This is revelation. And these all having obtained a good report through faith. Receive not. But you know what? They're still going to be in the resurrection. But I'm going to show you how they're going to be in the resurrection. They're not in the church. They're the guests to the wedding. And I've taught all of this and I'm teaching it again so you understand. The question is, when is our salvation? Well, I'll tell you what. It's nearer than when we began. So there are three harvests, three baskets. The first order is the fruit. And that's for the Jews, the special Jews. And I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion with him, 144,000. Now you can prove they're Jews because it calls out the tribes that they belong to. Now Jehovah's Witnesses teach that they're the 144,000. And I always ask them, so which tribe are you? They can't tell you. Because this is the first fruits of the barley. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb, whichever he goeth. I'm going to be posting all these notes. You can take your time. Then you have, and all these scriptures, in Ezekiel 37:13, you need to take time and read that. The prophet is brought to a valley of dry bones, and he sees all these bones. It's really what you're going to see is it actually a resurrection. They're dead, right? They're dead. What happens? You see, you still have to have God's spirit no matter which basket you end up in. What happens? The wind comes and symbolically they are filled. Breath comes into them. Do you understand? They are filled. You can't go to heaven any other way. Whether you're Old Testament, New Testament, or whatever. This was fulfilled literally in Matthew 27:52 when Jesus arose. It says, and the graves were open. There was a resurrection. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. He never said all. because there's a fixed number. These were special first fruits of the barley presented to God. And of course, then we have us. We're in the unknown day. We don't know when this is going to happen exactly. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into ground and die, it abideth alone. When we went into that tank and were baptized, symbolically, this body died. But listen, it goes on to say, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus in Matthew 12:13-30, when he told the parable of the harvest, he said this, let both grow together until the harvest. He was speaking about one of these harvests. And he said, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. Now you can tell which harvest because he says which product it is. Watch this. And bind them in bundles to burn them. But what? This is the rapture. Gather the what?
Gather the wheat.
The wheat. Gather the wheat into my barn. You see, you can tell which one's the rapture by which product is being harvested. And then the last one, which is the oil and the wine. You want to be oil and wine, you better be ready to die. Because they're going to force you to take chips. They're going to put stuff in your head. You're going to have to be beheaded for the testimony. Are you ready to be turned into oil and wine? No, you don't have to. You can get on the bus now. You can get in this harvest that's coming up. You don't have to wait to the last one. That one's going to take something for you to get in there. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. In the Old Testament, when it's speaking about the day of the Lord, it's speaking about the end of the tribulation, the last part of it. Shall not that day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness? Revelation 8:12. Now here's the reaping of the oil and the wine. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part was darkened. And I heard a voice in heaven saying in the midst of beasts, a measure of wheat for a penny, and a measure of barley for a penny. Those have already been reaped. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. It's speaking about the last part of that harvest. So Israel represents the first order, and I'm going to have to stop. The church is the unknown day. We are the first fruits of the wheat. And the righteous dead who were not baptized at the time are going to be at the end. They are those who are going to be resurrected at the end. See, now I can prove this. Because I can prove to you that the first resurrection ends. All of these three harvests are still called the first resurrection. I can prove it by this scripture. The first resurrection ends at the harvest of the oil and the wine. Look at this. Revelation 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. They've been crushed. And for the word of God, which had not worshipped. That means they have come through the tribulation, because otherwise this wouldn't be said. Neither his image, neither received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived. Now remember, they were dead. And now they lived. The only way that could happen is if there had been a resurrection. Amen. Right? They were dead and they lived and reigned with Christ. The Bible calls that still the first resurrection. So the Bible tells us when the first resurrection ends. It ends with the oil and wine harvest. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Is that plain? The question is, when did the first resurrection start? And that is also answered. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Please stand, I can't finish this again. On such the second death hath no power. When you die in that pool, that's the end of it for you. Second death hath no power. You can only be changed. You can only be changed. But they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the Bible tells us when the first resurrection ends. It ends with the resurrection of those who had been beheaded, who had not received the mark of his forehead, and they lived. That means they were brought back to life. And reigned with Christ. It's so funny. The Bible is there. The words are clear. And yet for some reason people Don't see it. And of course, I put, when did it start? It starts with the first harvest. It's obvious. It ends with the last harvest, oil and the wine, and it starts with the first harvest, which is the barley. I'm going to close with this scripture because it's so plain. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Thy dead men, speaking to the Jews, the barley, together with who? What does it say? My dead body. My dead, speaking about Jesus, shall they arise? Yes. So in Matthew, when it says the graves were opened, yes, they arose with Jesus. Amen. This is the first part of the barley. It's plain, thy dead men shall live. Yes. Together, this is Jesus speaking, with my dead body shall they arise. This was fulfilled when it says the graves were opened. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and shall the earth shall cast out their... It goes on to explain that he was going to sprinkle them. They still got to get baptized. And I will put my spirit within you. They still got to get the Holy Spirit. But this is the barley harvest. And there's more prophecies. I'm trying to finish. And they shall offer that day when he waved the sheep and the he lamb. Do you see that together the sheaf is the barley, the he lamb is Jesus? They were both presented as first fruits. Do you understand? Leviticus 23:12. And he shall offer that day when he waved the sheaf, the barley harvest, the first fruits of the Jews, with the he lamb, which is Jesus, without blemish, the first year for a burnt offering. Matthew 27:15. I'm going to try and close with this. When he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. You know why? Here was some blood coming that was a covering that was strong enough to release, to release, to release. The rocks couldn't stop it. They had to part. And that prophecy that I just read back here in Isaiah 26:19 was fulfilled. And the great, as soon as that blood went down to the righteous dead, those 144,000, the first fruits that were redeemed, that were spoken of in Revelation, the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which arose. And it goes on to say they went into the city and were witnessed. People saw them. That's why it's written in the book of Matthew. Do you understand? The first part has been fulfilled. We're waiting now for the wheat harvest. If the first part has been fulfilled, Jesus said that not one jot or tittle shall pass away. Do you understand? We're waiting for the wheat harvest, and it's coming. It could be this September for all we know. There's signs in the sky. Think about it. Last week, they said, we're issuing chips for your hand. We're issuing. Now, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for when we come to church and there's a bunch of people missing. Is that what we're waiting for? We're waiting for when we call someone, they're gone and we can't trace them. We're waiting for the news to say millions of people have disappeared. Right. And the worst part of it, we here will know exactly what has happened. Yes. We won't have to ask. It'll be a mystery to the scientists and the news. What's happened? Aliens. Well, I don't know how they'll explain it. But not one of you here today will doubt or not know what happened. Right. We need to make our calling and election sure. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That's why Paul had to write to the Thessalonians, listen, don't worry, you haven't missed it. There's another harvest coming. There's still yet, and God is so merciful, he has three harvests. He has three baskets. He has three. There's still two more. Now, you don't want to miss this one because the last one's kind of hard. The last one is not going to be fun if you're going to do that one. But God is still so merciful that even at the very last, he told the parable. He went out in the morning, hired some people. He went out again in the middle, got some more. And he went out a third time. Do you see? Do you see what I'm trying to show, how it lines up? He went out a third time, 1 hour before the end of the day. And hired. They all got the same pay.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to stop here because I can't stop. But I'm trying to give you a passion that we are living, saints.
Yes, ma'am.
Now is your salvation nearer than when we first began. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you today. Let this word find good soil. Oh, Father, help us to be diligent and to seek after you like the wise men, to make sure that we are in the harvest that is to come. Father, we ask for your blessing today on our services. Move.